Okay, there's our facts for the day this morning. So for those of you who just joined us, just a reminder that we are all here together with our service. In the middle, we are going to play a 10-minute clip of the DVD that's been put together by the Ministers of the Village, where we will have an actor in that. And if you'd like to, as part of that, go and stand on, and please feel free to do that. Just leave yourselves after that. Or feel free to just stay and observe the two. But as we said, this is Remembrance Sunday. It's very different for us this year. I'm sure many of us would normally be gathered somewhere. If we're here in the village, we would be going and gather from a different place. We might go and gather at a different, or sit and watch the service from, but we can't do that. We're all in our own home, but we're still gathered together, and we're gathered to remember. But first of all, we gather to remember God. We don't come together simply as a remembrance act. We come together under God. God in the, when it says this, this is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they'd done to our relationship. We'll think a bit about sacrifice today as we think about remembrance. But firstly, we think about the sacrifice of Jesus, who gave his life that we can gather here today in his love, remember. You see, we do struggle to remember, don't we? And different times in our life, we struggle to remember more than others. But people have done lots of things to remember over the years. Like, didn't people used to tie knots in handkerchiefs, something like that, you know, to remember. But I do wonder whether people tied knots in handkerchief and then wondered. Or sometimes we write lists. If I write a list, I'll remember, but then we don't always know where we've put the list. Or sometimes we put a little timer on our phone and we'll remember when that timer goes off that, you know, something's supposed to. We have lots of ways in which we remember. And the way that we remember things on Sunday is we get poppies. People wear poppies. You'll see in the days leading in Remembrance Day that people begin to wear poppies. They remind us of the sacrifices made. They remind us of what we've done before. And they also remind us of the terrible to go on. We don't want more peace. So your challenge, if you want to pick up a challenge today, is to make a poppy. Now, be creative. Here we are, out of Lego. If you want a challenge during this, then make. Before we go and play the service that has been, I'd like to just show you a few pictures who have been to war, memories of those who have gone before us. So hopefully, here we are. Here we are. We have a man called James McCairns, known as Mac. He was a fighter pilot in the Royal Air Force, and he was awarded the Military Medal for his courage during World War II. In 1941, his plane was shot down and it crash-landed, and with the help of the Belgian resistance, he managed to get home. But he signed up again to fly on special duties. And what he used to do was he used to fly secret agents out of Britain into occupied France, and he used to go and rescue people who had been shot down and bring them home. Between October 1942 and November 1943, he completed 25 successful operations to and from France, helping bring back pilots and secret agents and leaders of the French resistance. Next up on our pictures, we have Elizabeth Lucas Harrison. Elizabeth was born in Germany, but she moved to Belgium as the Nazis' power grew. While there, Elizabeth even joined the Belgium Girl Guides. When Belgium was invaded, she began helping with the Belgian Red Cross and local resistance, but soon she had to flee to France. She joined the French resistance and helped to create fake documents to help people flee to safety. As France became free, she worked as a nurse. She looked after soldiers and civilians. She kept all her efforts secret from her family, and she did all this before the age of 21. Elizabeth didn't stop helping when the war was over. She also published a newsletter in German for the prisoners of war, and she used her amazing language skills to help lots of people. She was awarded an MBE for her work. Next up, we have Nicholas Gunton, who was a bombardier in Afghanistan. And what he will remember most about his time in Afghanistan was when his Chinook crashed. He was coming into a landing zone in western Afghanistan, and suddenly there was a loud noise and everyone was thrown around inside the Chinook. When he was then knocked out, and when he came round, he realised he'd crashed. Once he got out of the crash, he helped others to get out too, and he soon realised that the place that they had crashed in was very dangerous. And so with the use of his radio, he guided other helicopters to rescue those who had been in the accident. and he looked out for any ambushes that might take place. At one time, he was controlling 18 different planes that were flying overhead to pick up people and to protect the crews that had crashed. He had a lot of pain while this happened, but he did it for 16 hours, and he kept a 360-degree cordon around the place where the plane had crashed to be safe from ambush. When he finally arrived back at his operating base, the medics found that his shoulder was separated, he'd broken his left thumb and he'd fractured three ribs and sprained his knee, but he kept going. We're going to come out of these pictures now as we have a time to remember, and in a moment we're going to start as a time. As we continue to look at the book of Hebrews today, Paula Newton is going to read our next passage to us. Paula, you are Cottenham, aren't you?
Cottenham, you're unmuted. Virtual church today.
You are.
So I'm reading Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 18. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sin, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God." First, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." Then he said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duty. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin.
Thank you, Paula. Well, if you've taken up the challenge, you'll be creating your poppy at this time, hopefully. That seems quite a long, complicated passage, doesn't it? But in a sense, it's confirming all that we've read before. You know, we've talked a lot over the past few weeks about the difference between the old and the new, the old covenant and the new covenant, to be more precise. We've talked about the earthly temple versus the heavenly holy of holies. We've talked about the earthly priests versus Jesus, our great high priest. We've talked about the law versus the grace of God. And we've talked about sacrifices, which is mainly what this passage is about. We've touched on the understanding of Old Testament sacrifices, what they were there for, how they were carried out, what they meant. And we've looked in contrast at the sacrifice of Jesus, the once for all sacrifice, which ended the continual animal sacrifices for good. And today we find ourselves once more focusing on this theme. Now, at first, this long-winded passage might just seem to be a repetition of all that has gone before. After all, it talks about the Old Testament sacrificial system. Again, those same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year. And it touches again on the role of the priests and how day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Once more, this passage also highlights the shortcomings of the law that is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. All of these things, in contrast to the work of Jesus that we've looked at in previous passages, the sacrifice of Jesus that, as this passage says, set aside the first to establish the second, so that through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all, God accomplished what could never have been accomplished through the sacrificial system, namely the forgiveness of sin. You see, at first glance, it would seem that this passage is simply repeating all that we've looked at before. And in some ways it is, like much of Hebrews does, because for the readers of the day, this contrast between Jesus and the old system they grew up with was vitally important if they were to continue living as followers of Christ in their culture and their time. But in other ways, this passage is different, because not only does it contrast again the old sacrificial system and the sacrifice of Jesus, not only does it once again talk about the blood of Jesus that has brought about the forgiveness of sins, it also highlights the true problem of the sacrificial system itself, why it had to be repeated, and why it was so important that Jesus came as the ultimate sacrifice. Because you see, when Jesus died and rose again, when he became the once for all sacrifice, he didn't just end the continual animal sacrifices that had gone on year after year after year. He actually changed everything, not just the Jewish system, but everything. And he didn't do this simply because he was human rather than animal. He didn't do this because he was different from what had gone before. It wasn't his physical makeup that miraculously put an end to all other sacrifices. Rather, Jesus changed everything because his sacrifice did something no other sacrifice could do. Jesus' sacrifice finally got to the heart of the problem itself that was simply being covered over by all the animal sacrifices that went on year after year. You know, some of you may know that we used to have a cat called Georgia. Lovely. She was always a bit delicate, to be honest, from the day that we got her, because, you know, she had to be on a special diet because she had a bit of a delicate, you know, she always, I suppose we should say, she always cost us a lot of money, Georgia, because of her delicacy. But as she grew up, she started to develop a kidney illness, which meant that, you know, she couldn't always keep her food down. She couldn't always function as she should. And so we ended up putting her on tablets. We had to give her a couple of tablets a day, and this went on for quite a number of years. We didn't pay a lot of money to have lots of things done for Georgia, I'm afraid, although we did have one scan which cost hundreds of pounds, and they said to us, yes, her kidneys aren't very well. We knew that, but you know, it's good to be but she had to have tablets day after day after day, and these tablets kept Georgia going. They kept her life okay, even though she was ill and in effect she was dying. They kept her functioning. But, you know, however many tablets we gave Georgia, and we gave her a lot, and for however long we did it, it was never going to make her better. All the treatment could do was keep her life going to a certain standard. And similarly, all that the animal sacrifices Israel offered year after year after year, all they could do for the people of God was assure them of their relationship with him. They couldn't take away sin. They couldn't heal that broken relationship completely. They couldn't bring new life. They couldn't get to the real heart of the problem and solve it, even though this temporary solution was given to them by God himself. Because as our passage today says, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. And so at the end of the day, all these sacrifices was an annual reminder of sin, making the people of God aware of who they were, who God was, and in some way enabling this relationship to carry on, until a permanent solution was found once for all, never to be repeated. A solution that could welcome not only the Jews, but all people into the presence. Which is why it says in this passage that when Jesus, our great high priest, had offered himself as the ultimate sacrifice, he didn't then continue to offer himself year after year, but instead he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. And, you know, as we read this passage today on Remembrance Sunday, as we gather in a world that is attempting to keep a virus at bay, but unable at this time to get to the heart of the real problem. And as we remember again, the many who have been or are still are at war, those who fight and those who suffer and those who sacrifice and are sacrificed. We're all too aware that 102 years after the end of World War I, that we're nowhere near to getting to the heart of the problem in our world, the greed, the inequality, the racism, the gender bias, the poor, rich divide, the complete and utter lack of care for others who are created in the image of God himself. And that even if we were able to get to the heart of these problems, there is no way that we as human beings can bring a sustained solution to them. one that will stop the sacrifice, one that will stop the need to remember and commit ourselves to peace year upon year upon year, knowing that once again we failed in this, which is why this passage is so important. Because when we cut through the language and the historical setting, we see once more that not only do we have a God who is gracious and understands the heart of all our problems, but we also have a God who offered himself as the once for all sacrifice that we so desperately need to enable these problems to be healed. And that our role in the light of this knowledge is to live in such a way that people around us see the significance of this great sacrifice, that we do not live in ways that simply uphold the status quo, ways that uphold values that discriminate and turn a blind eye and patronise and are fearful of those who are different. Or if you like, that we do not live in the ways of the old covenant that demands sacrifices to just keep life going the same. Instead, we live in a way that shows that Jesus Christ, the once for all sacrifice that opened the way to God, has actually changed everything. And that regardless of what is spoken or heard in the world today, now everyone is valued. Now everyone is accepted. Now everyone is precious. Now everyone is worth dying for. Now, like ever before, everyone is welcome in the house of God and the Holy of Holies. Not just the privileged few, not just the white people or the wealthy people or the Western Christians, not just those who we might understand and gravitate towards naturally, but all people, because this is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the news that was bought and won with his blood. And therefore, these are the values that we as his children are called to live by as we follow. Let's pause for a moment. And let's, now in a moment, I'm going to unmute you all, because we've got a, well, normally at the end of our service up at the memorial, we have an act of commitment, which we make together. I ask you some questions and people respond with, "We will." I'm hoping that you'll be able to do the same today. So I'm going to ask you to unmute yourselves so that you can respond in this way, if you would. So I will ask a question, and if you want to commit to this, you all respond, "We will." So here we go. Will you strive for all that makes for peace?
We will.
Will you seek to heal the wounds of war?
We will.
Will you work for a just future for all humanity?
We will.
So let us pray together as we finish that. Father, we thank you for this time to remember once more. We thank you that we can gather together from our different places and we can remember all that has gone before. But also we can pledge ourselves to walk in your way, to be people of and people who do not uphold what is going on around, but seek to bring in your way. Give us strength and courage and love and grace to do this. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I wonder whether anyone made a poppy. Oh, we have some poppies.
Oh, Paula,
Paula, is yours from pipe cleaners? Excellent. And ooh. Emma, you've got a white poppy or blue?
Yeah. White for peace.
White for peace. Excellent. Is that like an origami?
No, it's just like loads of pieces of paper and a split pin.
Oh. And Jessica, you have a pop. What's yours made out of? Knitted. Crocheted. Oh, gosh, people are so clever. And, James has got one. Is that Lego? I don't know. You're on mute. But it looks like Lego. I imagine it would be Lego.
Nice. Yeah,
thumbs up. It's Lego.
Lego's got thumbs up.
Lego. Poppy, anyone else? Comrade has got your silhouette of a soldier and your poppy.
Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, that's yes.
Excellent. Well, once again, the creation is amazing. It's been good to be with you this morning, and I hope that you felt you've been able to join in the remembrance, even though we are far apart. And hopefully next year, we'll be able to join together in person. But I believe now we are going to split into our breakout groups if you want to stay and chat. If not, it's been good to see you, and I hope you have a good week and are able to join us during the week. Thank you.